This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Four teams remain in the NFL playoffs, and that means only four teams left for you to bet on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Counting down to Super Bowl 56, new customers can get 56-1 odds on any team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps and get 56-1 odds on any NFL team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for 56-1 odds at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Redline, 1-800-889-9789.
Hour three kicking off in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Another Tennessee Vol basketball watch party this Saturday over at our friends at Walk-On's.
Let's go.
Drinks, appetizers, entrees, a really good dessert with the Krispy Kreme bread pudding. Tip-off is at 8 o'clock. Come by. See us, watch party, hang out with us. We appreciate Tim for helping making this happen over at Walk-On's as Tennessee hopefully continues their winning streak against a Texas team and Barnes having to go back to Austin. Hour three headlines. What do you got for us, Cam?
Think Barnes gets cheered?
Yeah, I'd say so.
I think so, too.
He didn't quit. He didn't leave. He didn't burn it down on the way out or anything like
that.
That's fair. So I would say he gets an ovation.
Yeah. I lean that way as well. All right, headlines. Okay, some of it's kind of, you know, blowing up on Twitter right now or, yeah, the past hour or so. Bengals wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase was talking to the media, and he referenced that ex-LSU coach Les Miles told him when he was in high school that he couldn't play receiver, and he thought he would be better as a defensive back. So people kind of blowing this up on Twitter right now. Just messing with Les Miles and how good, you know, Chase has evolved into as a receiver. Les would have had him playing cornerback. Cornerback, it seems.
And this was, how old was he when this happened?
But he said when I was coming out of high school was what he said in a quote.
Okay.
He said, Les Miles told me I couldn't play receiver when I was coming out of high school. He said, so that was something I had on my shoulders growing up. Les told me he thought I could play cornerback. I wasn't really a full position of receiver yet, so I just kept working at my craft in the off season, waking up early in the mornings to work out. I just kept focused.
Well, look at Les Miles motivating him to greatness.
Yeah, he did. Look at that.
People,
maybe
people
that was his tactic all along.
Yeah.
People forget Ja'Marr Chase was committed to Kansas at one point.
Was it when Les Miles was there at Kansas too?
Yeah. Yeah, he was committed to Les Miles at Kansas. I don't know. People are overblowing this story, though. This happens literally all the time in college football.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, absolutely. Odds yeah. are Ja'Marr Chase probably would have been a pretty good corner. Probably could have been a pretty decent running back. I mean, you know, there are other positions he would have been successful at. And Les Miles told this to him when he was still a positionless player, when he was playing some running backs, some wide receivers, some cornerbacks. So, you know, people can act like Les Miles is an idiot if they want. He probably is for other reasons.
And that's also like a position that's almost, I wouldn't say go hand in hand, but like, it's not, I wouldn't say interchangeable either, but as close as you can get, basically, especially at that level.
Yeah.
You basically usually have that path at that level of either going and sticking with the defensive side of the ball or, you know, going to the receiver. But, yeah, people are blowing it a little out of proportion on the internet right now, but just, yeah, interesting Les said that.
Nicolas Cage has said he is so goth. How goth is he? That's what you're supposed to ask.
How goth is he?
Let's try one more time. Nicolas Cage is so goth.
How goth is he?
He says that he owns a pet crow.
Oh, snap. Oh, we got an Edgar Allan Poe over here, boy.
Yep, that's how goth he is. He owns a pet crow.
That can't be real.
Like I believe he owns a crow.
What do you do with the crow? Do you keep it in like a crow cage inside? Yeah. Or
they're very smart, so it.
You look at it and you tilt your head and you kind of talk to it and you just.
It may talk back to you.
Just let it.
The crows talk.
You can teach. Well, ravens are a lot better at it, but you can train them to talk.
Yeah. Ravens can talk?
Oh, yeah. Ravens,
I thought only
ravens
like macaws and parrots could talk.
Parrots and ravens, and there's another bird in that same family of ravens. I can't remember off the top of my head right now. But yeah, no, you can teach them to talk. Videos are creepy. If you ever see a video of like a raven talking,
I would have nightmares for a month.
Crows already terrify me, so if a crow ever talked to me, I'd lose my mind. But yeah, I wonder if Nick Cage has just a crow, but he has trained to be like, great work on that movie, Nick.
Sounds like you ain't goth enough, bro.
I'm really excited for Nick Cage's next movie, though, where he plays Nick Cage.
Where he plays himself.
I hope his crow makes a cameo.
Yeah, he should at this point. That's how goth he is. Who was questioning how goth Nick Cage was in the first place?
Or did he bring it up on his own?
Yeah.
Like, was someone just like, so Nick, like your new movie, you're playing yourself. How excited are you for this release? Well, I just want to let you know how goth I am. I bought a crow recently. I'm thinking about getting a whole murder of him.
Yep.
They're smart birds.
They are very smart birds. I'd say they're smarter than the average person.
I don't want a crow to. I don't want to be anywhere near a crow. I don't want anything to do with crows.
Crows terrify me. My
birds. I don't like birds. The only birds I like are parrots and lorikeets. All the rest of them.
I'm not a big bird person in general. My parents kind of scarred me with a crow.
Birds freak me
when I was younger, and it just went downhill from there.
Okay.
They're also not real.
Yeah. Those government drones. They'd be scary. A crow. Okay. They are very smart. They did like an experiment one time where like a crow had to get like a drink of water from like, it was either like a glass or a little container, and it couldn't like reach its head far enough in it. And so they're like, oh, how's it going to figure this out? The crow would go and get rocks and fill up the thing till the water rose high enough that it could drink it.
Okay,
and I don't think the average
impressive.
Person would come up with that,
that
solution,
is impressive.
To be honest.
I thought you were going to be like, oh, they gave a crow water and then he drank it from a bottle. And I was like, okay, so he's like
he
smart.
Took the top
and,
off.
And he's smarter than we thought. Like, I guess contextually they're smart. But okay, yeah, no, he filled it with.
Yeah, I don't think the average person would be like, huh, how do I get this out of
can
here?
Can I do math?
Got to get the...
Yeah.
The water higher, not my neck lower.
Yeah. Mm. So, I was, they're smart animals, but okay. And obviously, I guess they make you really golf if you own them.
I didn't know you could buy crows. I didn't know crows were pets.
Some people have them, but yeah, I wouldn't buy a crow. They remember faces too. If you ever mean to a crow, they'll remember, and they tell their friends, so they will recognize you forever. So, don't throw stuff at crows, because yeah, you'll just be on their list.
Any other headlines? Charlie, you said you had one?
Yeah, I do. You remember Rustin Webster?
Yeah.
Well, as the
former
Raiders...
Titans GM, correct?
Yes. Well, as the Raiders continue their quest to be a bad football team and find a GM, they just interviewed Rustin Webster for the position.
Oh, God.
Webster is currently a national scout with the Falcons. Bad on you.
I mean, our draft class the last couple of years have been pretty good, so...
Maybe they brought him in to be like, hey, Rustin, who do you like? So then they can just write off those players. I don't know. But as the GM of the Titans, the best roster he built was arguably with like Chance Warmack, Bishop Sankey, and Jake Locker. So
Lord have mercy.
If they want to bring him in as their GM, that would just be disastrous. But they did interview him, and I hope they hire him.
So that's the headline. Okay.
Yeah.
We're 2 for 2 on
you
the
didn't like
round
that?
Picks.
No, it's fine. He was very bad at
he
his
gives
job.
Me nightmares still.
Yeah, he was very bad at his job. He did ruin a lot of my youth, so I hope he doesn't get the job.
At one point, I thought he ruined my life, so.
It's wild. Y'all still missing on first-round picks. The Kansas City Chiefs fans, in a nod to the Bills Mafia, have donated $178,000 to a Buffalo Children's Hospital.
I'd say there's not a lot of GMs that have hit, you know, all-pro, second-best defensive tackles in the league on a first-round pick, but that's fine.
I mean, everybody knew he was a top-five talent. Did you want to risk it?
Why'd he fall to
18? I don't think that was a scouting.
Why'd he fall to 18?
The off-the-field stuff.
I mean, but yeah, so I mean, like, if everyone knew, they're just dumb.
Some
like,
people
I mean,
just don't want thugs in their organization, you know?
Yeah. Oh, thugs. Oof. Racially loaded there, Cam.
Yeah.
Just because you're black doesn't mean you can say that.
Yeah,
it's crabs
know.
In a barrel.
I know.
You don't want to do that. Interesting. Interesting. Wow.
What does crabs in a barrel mean? I've never heard that.
Just pull you back down.
Yeah.
Hold each
other
back.
They can't climb out because they climb out.
I was thinking like
other.
Fish in a barrel, like you're just shooting crabs instead.
It's probably crabs in a bucket more, but same concept. You can be in a barrel or a bucket, but we don't promote each other. We just pull each other back because we don't get left down there in the bucket by ourselves. So whenever one gets close to pulling out, you pull him back down. That's what Cam's trying to do to Jeffrey Simmons. Okay. Anyways, back to the Chiefs.
Well,
Charlie,
they're donating. The kind of petty but funny thing about this is they were donating in $13 increments to represent the 13 seconds it took for them to win that game or tie the game.
That's hateful.
Yeah, like they're being petty while also doing a good deed. It's just
the kids should turn the money down.
The kids?
No, the kids can't turn it down.
They should say, "We don't want your evil, mean-spirited money."
You just gotta laugh at it, and yeah. it is nice of Chiefs fans to do. So the last report coming out of the Oeschi Children's Hospital says that $178,000 has been donated by over 9,800 donors. That comes out to like $18 a pay. So at least some people are being a little bit nicer and more generous.
That's good.
Maybe they're donating $130 instead. Like
maybe 36. Isn't that their final score?
Yeah, maybe. Was it 42, 36, I think?
Yeah, 42, yep. Yeah, maybe that. I know they were in the news last year when Josh Allen's grandmother passed away. A lot of fans donated in $17 increments to that, and now she has like a pediatric recovery wing in the hospital.
Yep.
And fund and stuff like that. So yeah, this hospital's getting a big boost from.
It is a nice trend. The Bills have done this themselves, so I guess they weren't trolling though, right? They donated to Andy Dalton's foundation a couple years ago when Andy Dalton beat the Ravens to get the Bills playoffs. In the playoffs. Yep. It wasn't like they trolled Baltimore. They just celebrated Andy Dalton.
Yeah.
Although like there's another story attached to this where Robbie Gould beating the Packers also got a donation boom to his charity from Bears fans who hate the Packers so much that they were thanking him.
Yeah, yeah.
For beating Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, and I guess they still love them some Robbie Gould.
Absolutely.
So it is nice, I guess, whenever rivalries and these moments can create some good. So I'm never going to be mad about charity.
Maybe we should have donated some Jags charities when they beat the Colts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe you should have had some goodwill going into the playoffs.
I mean, I don't know. I guess I just don't take as much joy as you do in the Colts losing. And
so much joy.
Yeah, if all you Titans fans weren't creating bad karma for us by mocking the Colts, after that we maybe would have beaten the Bengals.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. I believe in karma too.
Yeah.
Wow. It's all
and I
full circle.
Trashed the Colts.
Yeah. You were a little too high about that. We lost sight of the bigger picture. Let's go to break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Tonight, Tennessee taking on Florida. Charlie, what are you looking for from this game? What are the keys? What do you want to see happen? Is it more about Tennessee's new golden son, Uros Plavichuk?
He could have a difficult defensive task tonight, honestly, depending on what they want to do with him. Florida has a center in Uruguay. I don't know his last name, but him. and he is the kind of guy that, he's not uber athletic by any means. Durgy. He's not uber athletic, but he will step out to the perimeter every once in a while. He'll take the three. He'll take the mid-range jumper.
Energy guy, too.
I mean, he shoots 35% from three. And they are a team that will go five out, or at least four out. So, maybe that worries you a little bit. But honestly, I'm looking for Tennessee to dominate tonight.
Okay.
Florida plays strictly man-to-man defense. They have a rather ineffective press. They don't match up well at all. They don't get to the rim at all without Colin Castleton, who is not playing tonight. In fact, they're one of the worst teams in the country getting shots at the rim without him in the game. They are a team that likes to shoot a lot of threes, so maybe it worries you that if they were to get hot tonight, they could win. But I think they're poorly coached, and they match up even worse.
Sounds like you think Tennessee is going to comfortably win this game.
Yes.
Is there anything from Tennessee side that you want to see?
I want to see you continue to make the strides that I feel like you're kind of making offensively.
Okay.
It's obviously you had a lot of room to grow. It's not like it was a pretty low bar for even improvements in the last week or so. But I do think that there's been more intent. Again, the off-ball movement's been better. The ball movement's been better. I want to see that continue to improve. And now that you're not playing really good defenses – nearly every night.
Sure.
It's time to start to find more of a rhythm, too. I want to see this team get over 70 points, over maybe, try to hit that 80-point mark tonight.
Okay. Tennessee's, you know, personal or I guess team wide over under is 70.5. Florida's a 60.5, so that's the, you know, kind of the implied score there. Florida going to be again without, you know, probably their best player, Colin Castleton, most reliable scorer, guys, you know, basically a 15 points a game scorer. They're a lot different with him on the court and without him on the court. So Tennessee catches a little bit of a break there.
Yep.
Florida's about 10 or 11 points per 100 possessions worse with him off the court so far this year, according to our friend Stats by Will.
They're a really poor shooting team as a whole, too, so your defense should be pretty effective, you would think.
As a team, they shoot sub 30% from three.
Mm-hmm.
They're 315th in the country.
324th now.
Okay.
Going backwards.
They grab some offensive rebounds. That's probably the thing they do best. They play slow and they can't shoot. So, like, the 60 points, I don't want to say they're going to be like a mirror image or like a replication of what we saw from Ole Miss, but it does seem kind of similar.
Yeah.
Team that can't really shoot, that plays slow. And that game, Tennessee's defense did hold Ole Miss. I mean, they barely had, what, 51 points in the regulation, 52 points, whatever it was, 54? Somewhere in the low 50s. But in that game, Tennessee's offense didn't get going. So maybe Charlie's right. Just the key to this is Tennessee's offense, can they scratch and claw their way to maybe 70 points?
You're basically playing a team that is challenged in all assets, facets, not assets, that is challenged in all facets of basketball, that does not match up well with you, that is tired, that is without their best player, and that hasn't won in your building in, what, 8 years, we said? So anything less than covering the spread to me is a disappointment tonight.
Okay. I mean, Tennessee wins by 7 or 8.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm not that upset about it. I mean, as long as Tennessee wins, I mean, I think at some points with this team, like, you're just happy with. Like, the Ole Miss game did leave a bad taste in your mouth, but obviously better than the alternative. So, to me, like, ultimately, if Tennessee wins another ugly game, like, maybe you just embrace it. That's who this team is. They're going to just really grind you out. They're kind of the grit and grind Grizzlies of, you know, 5 or 6 years ago. Where it's not going to be pretty, but they're going to beat you up defensively, and they're going to find enough points. And maybe that's just like how they play.
Yeah. I'm taking the under in every game we play until we have some better shooting and scoring performances to tell me otherwise.
Yeah, tonight the over-under basically set at 130. Like I said, 70 to 60, kind of the implied score here.
So that 131.5.
Okay.
Stats by Will points out as well that Florida's had a lot of issues this year guarding the pick and roll.
I still feel like we run a pick and roll.
We haven't a ton, but we can do that decently. Kamwa, I think, is more athletic than anyone that they would put on him. You know, that pick and roll situation. I think you match up well, and you should win. That's just basically where we're at with this game. Florida, I guess, will be desperate. You know, they have fallen to Joe Lunardi's last team in the field as of yesterday morning. I don't know where they are after last night's game, but this could be a win for them that puts them back into the tournament field more comfortably.
Yeah, it's kind of what we talked about at the beginning of the show. Like, this game means more to Florida right now. They're playing for their tournament lives. Tennessee does have a little bit more to a little bit more wiggle room, I guess, in terms of being able to drop a game to Florida here. Florida is all of a sudden fighting for whether or not they make the postseason. So this game's going to matter more to them, but they're coming off a short week. They're injured. They're banged up. Like, this is one that you should win. However, you could have said the same things about Ole Miss. Like, they came into that game banged up. Remember, they were, like, shorthanded because of COVID, and they came in here, and Tennessee took them lightly and played a really sloppy game. And, you know, sometimes being at home is detrimental if you don't come out with a good crowd. That game was a 6:30 start. This one's a 6 o'clock start. I don't know what the arena is going to look like whenever tip-off happens. I don't know if people are going to be there and fired up and ready to go. That could lead to a road team getting off to a pretty good start and, you know, being able to stay in the game longer. All of those things are relevant as far as I'm concerned. My biggest concern looking at this matchup would be that Florida, pretty good at causing turnovers. Tennessee at times has been pretty damn sloppy with the basketball. If you can get pressure on their guards, like, you could force some turnovers. Like Chandler's been known to turn the ball over, obviously. Vescovi turns the ball over quite frequently when he tries to dribble and bring the ball up. So that worries me a little bit.
Maybe you can use their aggression against him, get him in foul trouble. They're already, lacking some depth, I guess, with Castleton out. They have another rotational player that is coming off of illness. Don't know what his status is tonight. I haven't seen anything anywhere, but they are aggressive. That's how they force a lot of turnovers. Maybe you can just turn those into fouls. Tennessee, I feel like, I don't have the numbers to back it up, but it feels like watching them this year, Tennessee's done a pretty good job at times drawing fouls, especially against aggressive defenses.
Yeah, we just don't hit our free throws, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's not – we don't get a lot out of it, I guess. But yeah.
That's something that has to fix before the end of the year. Like, I still refuse to buy that, like, Chandler just can't hit free throws. And I know Barnes says he fades back a little bit, and that seems like an easy correction.
If you know the issue, it seems like you should be able to be like, hey, stop doing that. If you're going to play this style – and be this gritty defensive team, you need to be able to hit your free throws, because you'll get into a game where scoring comes at a premium, and if you can't hit your free throws, you put yourself at jeopardy of losing any moment, you know?
It kind of cost you the Alabama game, right? Yeah. Like, wasn't that one of the games Tennessee shot very poorly from
that end? And I mean, even LSU, like, you wouldn't have fallen so far out of that game in the second half if you hit free throws.
But probably weren't going to win that game, but it felt like it was a difference in the Alabama game at times.
Yes, it was, yeah. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe if you're Kennedy Chandler, you try something unique with your free throws.
Just think,
change something up.
Just don't fade back and hit them. Like, it just seems kind of simple.
Just be a basketball player.
Well, Rick Barnes says, you know, he makes 94, 95, 96 when he shoots 100 in practice. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's just
maybe he wants to look cool in the games. I don't know. Kennedy Chandler down to number 25 in the latest ESPN mock draft. So he's fallen quite a bit.
Yep.
Fair.
I mean,
I don't even know if it's – he hasn't really done anything to rise more so, I guess, and other players have too.
Yeah.
I think he's hurt himself too.
He has hurt himself. But, you know, there also have been a lot of guys that have risen,
mm-hmm.
Johnny Davis most notably.
Something to keep an eye on there. If he's in 25th, is that scream going pro first year? Do you come back and try to go higher? Yeah, who knows?
Not necessarily. Maybe you do get him back, and that would be fun. Big board, Sam VCN, or Vicini, of The Athletic, who is a big NBA draft guy, just released his first in-season big board, and Kennedy Chandler has fallen to 21 on his big board.
Okay. So a little bit higher than ESPN, but he needs to turn it on down the stretch here. Like, we need him to be a five-star if Tennessee is going to do anything the rest of the year. Let's go to break. We'll come back. We'll play some overrated, underrated afterwards. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
Your pet is an important part of your family, and when he or she is ill...
Be overrated. It's overrated. Overrated, my friend.
Overrated. I'm going to tell you why. I think that's a solid rated right there. It's perfect rated.
He underrated, man. He got some swag. He has some real swag.
Lobsters are underrated. They don't die.
All right. Who's ready to play some overrated, underrated?
I'm kind of fatigued. I've been tired this week. I need sunshine. Need more food. Well, let's play some overrated, underrated. I miss food.
Food is good.
Are you fasting?
No. I don't know what it is. I guess I've been dieting a little bit.
Mm.
So when actually I do eat, I just can't eat a lot, but then
your stomach shrinking a little bit?
I guess, but then I just miss food. I just want to eat everything. Just
food is good.
Anyways,
I'm a fan of food.
Food, underrated.
Okay. Speaking of food, first up we have queso.
This might surprise absolutely no one, but I do not eat queso. I like chips. I'll go with a little salsa, but that's enough for me. I don't need the cheese. Just chips and salsa to me is better than chips and queso. So I find queso to be overrated. I hate that most places charge you extra for it. And it's kind of bad being either like on a date or with a friend and they're like, hey, bring your chips and sauce. Like, can we get some queso too? And then you're responsible for trying to split half of it. Yeah, it's just a disaster. And I always be like, I don't want anything of it, but you had to get your damn queso.
I have people that'll get. Like, come in with a party of 12 and get a queso and split it 12 ways.
So 20 cents a piece.
And I'm just like giving out bills that are like 80 cents.
Yeah.
50 cents.
Yeah.
I feel like queso is already highly rated, right? Like, am I wrong there? So I would say it's just properly rated. I don't think it's any better than highly rated. I think queso is really good. You know, it's something to tie you over until your meal comes. It's usually not overly expensive. It's a vast quantity. You get different flavors. I don't like
salsa.
I'm not a huge salsa guy.
The sauce is good.
I like a good like pineapple salsa or like
pineapple
or a peach salsa.
Peach salsa.
But like regular salsa doesn't do it for me.
I haven't even heard of these sauces.
Queso is good. And plus, you know, if you're with a group of people and you don't really want to, you know, you don't have a lot to say, get some queso. And then you're eating instead of talking.
You don't have a lot to say. What the hell are you talking about? Then you're trying to talk. It's not like everybody's all of a sudden quiet. It's just everyone's always now eating with queso dipping out of their mouth
and
falling
all
over the
place. It gives you something else to do, and you're just not just standing there looking at each other.
Yeah. It sounds like a stupid reason, Charlie.
Queso's good.
Next.
Okay, so next topic.
How's it going?
Appreciate it. Sean Payton.
Okay, so next topic. I'm going like instead of okay. Like, oh, yeah. Okay,
I get it. Okay. I get it. It's good.
You said you didn't get it.
Well, I didn't get it at first.
Sean Payton?
Yeah.
You know, I feel like Sean Payton's probably a little overrated simply because, I mean, he has lost a lot of big home games. He only has one Super Bowl with Drew Brees. So somebody's overrated between Sean Payton and Drew Brees. Maybe both of them's overrated. Although, at the same time, the Saints were absolutely nothing before he got there. So he did build them into something. He did win him a Super Bowl, which who knows if he even would have gotten that one Super Bowl if Hank Basket knew how to catch an onside kick. Went right to you, bro. Just hold on to the ball. That's all you got to do. Sean Payton gets talked about as being a genius. I mean, we're like, what, 3 straight 8-8 seasons until like they got Alvin Kamara. Maybe Alvin Kamara falling to them was the real. I will say, though, shout out to Sean Payton. He has given a lot of unemployed Tennessee athletes a job. Like he is,
that's
he,
true.
He loves his Tennessee Vols. I know Kamara wasn't necessarily unemployed, but got him, got Callaway, Shy Tuttle, was even giving Colton Jumper a chance down there for a bit. Like he loves his Vols.
Even Josh Smith got a tryout there for a minute.
That's true. So I will say, you know what? Shout out to Sean Payton. He loves the Vols. He is a VFL, and I appreciate him. A little overrated, but I appreciate him.
I mean, who else would have found Taysom Hill, you know?
He did give Taysom Hill some money, too.
He's respectfully overrated. I mean, people talk about him like he is one of the all-time greats, like he is a football god. And I think he is a very good coach. He has been mostly successful. But, you know, for someone that is regarded as highly as he is, you'd think he would have been to more Super Bowls. You'd think he maybe, you know, wouldn't have had some of the big losses that he had, like you mentioned, and he did also play with a Hall of Fame quarterback, or coach a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Just two gut-wrenching losses, though.
Pass interference.
And, yeah, I mean, like the pass.
Yeah, I guess if he fielded an onside kick, but you could also just say if
Brees played better in that game, yeah, I know.
Yeah. If Brees would have played better, the rest probably should have threw the flag. And also, like, I guess Sean Payton can't make his safety not whiff. On Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, like that's not coaching. That's just, oh my God, what
are
you
putting
doing?
Your head down? Yeah, like just wrap him up, bro. Two pretty bad losses. Although I will say, I give Sean Payton credit for being an offensive coach that's actually like had like a really good defense the last couple of years, which I don't know if that's him.
He's had really good coordinators.
That's fine. But like Dennis Allen is a good defensive coordinator. Like he hired him, and the defense has been good, and you know, some of these coaches, if their offense is broken, the team will just suck. But they did find some ways to win some games, even without quarterbacks, you know, like Teddy Bridgewater and Taysom. So
they managed to win with, like, negative $100 million cap every single year.
I don't know how
for
the hell they
over
it.
A decade.
I'm not giving him credit for that.
Bounty Gate was
kind of
cool.
Bounty Gate wasn't cool. That was dirty.
I thought it was fun.
It was awful.
I was pro Bounty Gate.
Yeah, them helping the Catholic Church hide stuff in New Orleans as well. Yeah, he's a guy. He exists. Sean Payton. What a guy. Not every coach has a movie with Kevin James playing you.
That's a great point.
it's rare. Except you and Barbara Streep.
Except
between.
I would love if every coach did get a movie with Sean.
with Kevin James playing everybody.
Kevin James is my favorite.
Bill Belichick.
Kevin James is Mike Tomlin.
That's what I was going to say, but I didn't think I could.
I got you. Don't worry.
Kevin James wouldn't do blackface. That'd be fine.
I'm not saying he would do blackface. He would just be white Mike Tomlin.
Why him be Mike Tomlin?
They would just have him.
I think that'd be so much funnier.
He wouldn't even grow a beard for any of the roles. Like, he would, only thing that would change would be his hat.
Yeah. Oh, boy. All right. Next up we have barbecue sauce.
I mean, to me, barbecue sauce is properly rated because it's delicious. It's my favorite condiment, probably. If it comes down to brass tacks, like, it's probably my favorite because I think it's versatile. It goes with chicken. You can put it on a burger if I have to. Some people like barbecue on their burgers. I like to sprinkle a little bit, like, in my mac and cheese every now and then if I'm somewhere. Fries. Barbecue sauce is delicious. Chicken, again, just really good with chicken. Just any type of chicken, really. The sandwich, wings. Grilled chicken, fried chicken, doesn't matter. Barbecue sauce just makes it better. You ever dip your french fries in barbecue sauce?
Yeah, it's disgusting. It's awful.
No. Oh. Oh, wow. Okay, ooh. I guess barbecue sauce is actually underrated, Cam.
Okay.
You a mayonnaise guy? Like, what are you dipping yours in? What's your favorite
condiment? What do I dip my fries in?
Yeah, what are your favorite condiments? Is ketchup? You're a straight ketchup guy.
I'm a ketchup guy. I like some mayo on, like, mayo and ketchup mixed together on, like, a burger.
Okay. I'm a mayo. I am either just a mayo or a ketchup and mustard guy. Like,
barbecue sauce is very overrated, though. Ugh. Just because there are so few barbecue sauces that don't just taste cheap and sweet. A real chef, a real food connoisseur knows that.
Oh, enlighten me.
Good barbecue is not in the sauce. It's in the seasoning and the preparation. If I want good barbecue, it's a good seasoned and a well-prepped meat, not one that's just coated in sauce after.
I don't put my barbecue sauce on, like, my ribs. I don't eat ribs. I don't need ribs. I put barbecue sauce on other stuff. So tell your enlightened chef to shut the hell up.
Yeah, barbecue chicken starts with the seasoning, starts with the preparation. That's barbecue chicken.
Here's what goes for me. I take chicken, I slather barbecue, and I stick it in the oven, and it comes out delicious.
It's all right. I mean, I will say that, like, the good barbecue sauces are very good. But most barbecue sauces are not the good barbecue sauces. Okay. So it's kind of like a weird in-between because good barbecue sauce, underrated. Most barbecue sauce, overrated.
Okay.
Okay. Next up we have the Los Angeles Rams.
I feel like they're kind of just properly rated, honestly. I guess maybe a little underrated. I don't know. Matthew Stafford has had a turnover problem a little bit lately. The Rams have had some turnover problems, but that defense is very good. The offense also very good. And I think they're going to win a Super Bowl. So,
yeah, it's weird because I think before the season they were probably a little overrated, or at least I was very high on them. I thought they were going to be the one seed in the NFC. I was thinking that was my pick out of the NFC before the season. Then, you know, halfway through you start looking at them and they're beating up on bad teams and not really good against the good teams and Stafford's making some mistakes. And then all of a sudden they get to the playoffs. You're like, okay, this is the team you probably don't want to play. But here they are in the NFC Championship and I think they're going to beat the 49ers. But even then you're looking at, like, can they even dare match up with the Chiefs? Like, it feels like it's the Chiefs and everybody else, which feels kind of unfair to the Rams, which then I think makes them underrated. So I think the Chiefs are going to beat the Bengals. I think the Rams are going to beat the 49ers. And then I think the Rams are going to beat the Chiefs. I think you're going to have the same problem that Kansas City had last year. All of a sudden they can't block for Patrick Mahomes. Now, they're not going to have as much of a banged up offensive line, obviously. Yeah. But I think that defense is probably going to give them pressure on the front seven. I think if you ask this question about the Rams without blowing the 27-3 lead, it might be different. But now I think people are back kind of down on them.
That makes sense.
Got a good run game. Got two good receivers. Odell's back. Stafford's been lights out in the playoffs so far. Sean McVay gonna get a chance to make a second Super Bowl, and surely to God he'll score more than 3 points this time.
There's just been so much fluctuation with the Rams this year, between overrated, underrated, and properly rated.
Yeah. I've been across the board. We got big news for their game Sunday. Mohamed Sanu activated off IR. Uh-oh. Playoffs Sanu.
Don't let him throw the ball.
Yeah, don't let him throw the ball. He'll be the best quarterback in the game.
He's back for the 49ers?
Yeah. I forgot he was over there, to be honest.
I forgot about him with the 49ers.
Out.
Him and Debo, maybe they can link up on something.
Yeah.
I'd let him get 5 snaps at quarterback.
Might as well.
I mean, he throws dimes.
Before we get to our last, you got another topic, I assume? Or no? Is that it? You done?
I could do one more, but we can be good.
You got a favorite fast food barbecue sauce? Jared S.
Fast food barbecue sauce?
Yeah. He says his is Wendy's.
Wendy's is pretty solid.
I didn't really like when Wendy's made the switch, although I've kind of gotten on board with Wendy's now, but I was really mad when they made the switch initially.
Are there any good fast food barbecue sauces? I'm trying to think.
I used to really like McDonald's, too.
I'm about to say, I always get McDonald's barbecue sauce if I get nuggets.
What do you put it on?
I don't really want to talk about this anymore. I'm getting hungry.
You poor thing.
I really just want the show to be over, honestly, but I'm not going to eat, so I don't know why. Just
you're not going to eat?
Talking more, well, I mean, I'm not going to eat immediately after the show, but like talking more about it just makes me hungry, and I've been really hungry all day.
Hey, you don't know what's good for...
I ate a muffin.
You know what's good
muffins.
For hunger?
Muffins are good.
Eating?
Water.
And
most notably,
I haven't drank
a lot of your water today, John.
When
maybe
I drink water,
hydrated,
it makes me hungry because it like activates my body.
That's
my body's like...
Hungry makes... Water, I think, makes me hungry.
When I get hungry, I just chug water until my belly gets full and you can feel it sloshing around, and then you don't want to put food in there.
No, my body's just like, hey, this isn't anything you just put in me. Give me something tastier.
I've really cut back on snacking. I don't snack anymore. I'm not eating snacks. I think that's my problem.
I don't think I've ever been a snack guy. I'm a big lunch guy, like big lunches.
Yeah. I used to have, you know, just a Nutty Buddy on deck all the time, underrated. The best little Debbie snack, especially coming out of the fridge.
I thought Nutty Buddies were the frozen ice cream cones.
Those are Nutter Butters.
No, Nutter Butters
those are
peanut butter cookies.
Nutty, those are Nutty Bars. What are they called? Those are Sunday cones. You're thinking of Sunday cones.
No, Nutty Buddies are...
Nutty Buddies are not ice cream.
Nutty Butters or Nutter Butters are the peanut-shaped cookie.
Nutty Buddies is what I'm talking about.
Yeah, the ice cream cone.
I mean, they have ice cream, but no, the Nutty Bars, I guess, the... Nutty Buddy. Nutty Buddy, Nutty Bars, the same thing.
Well, then what's what I...
I don't know what you're talking about. You're talking about Sunday cones? That's what I...
Nutty Buddy.
I'm thinking
not what I thought a Nutty Buddy was.
I'm thinking like the multi-layered chocolate and peanut butter. That's my favorite snack. I put them in the fridge, get them real cold, and then I break them down into little inch squares, and I eat half of it from the outside in, and then just like a whole method, but... It's New Year. I've been trying to cut back on them.
I respect that.
Also called Nutty Buddy.
The Nutty Buddy what? What does it say under Nutty Buddy?
I don't know.
Sunday cone, which is what I said it was?
Oh, I was thinking of drumsticks.
Okay, let's go to break.
An underrated snack, Teddy Grahams and Danimals.
Teddy Grahams and what?
Danimals drinkables together.
Okay.
Yeah.
Together.
I told you I'm not a snacker, so I'm not going to take you up on that. Last call on the other side. Last call today is brought to you by the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident, they want to help you get the compensation that you deserve. At G3, you matter most. Visit G3HelpMe.com or call them at 865-401-8214 to get help now. That's G3HelpMe.com. Cam, let's play some Pump the Brakes. Let's keep it moving. Do you have a story you'd like to go with, or do you want me to go?
Yeah, I got one.
Okay, what do you got?
China has changed the ending.
I'm into China. China. Now give it to me. What do you say about China I'm into?
Well, China has changed the ending of a movie.
Okay.
Jaws.
Not Jaws.
Why would it be Jaws?
the shark wins? Is that what you like?
The shark wins. And then that's what you get for fishing in the South China Bay. This is ours.
Were they in the South China Bay? I thought they were.
No, that would be part of the change to the movie.
Gotcha. Sorry. Anyways.
So basically, they changed the ending to the movie Fight Club.
Okay.
So instead of the...
Spoiler alert, I imagine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've never seen it, so.
Well,
do I need to plug my ears?
Instead of the ending where Edward Norton's character, the narrator, kills off his imaginary alter ego, played by...
Spoiler alert.
I thought we said spoiler alert. It's okay. An old movie.
You said spoiler alert.
I mean, it is an old movie. I guess. Yeah. I mean, I guess if you. Okay.
Well, I guess I'm not watching.
Well, there
it
is a movie.
Still worth watching.
Well, there's a movie that basically hints at like bringing down modern civilization a little bit at the end of the movie.
Sure.
So China was like, not on our watch. So they basically changed the ending to where the police rapidly figure out the whole plan and arrest all the criminals, successfully preventing the bomb from exploding.
Okay.
They said the narrator's the figment of the narrator's imagination is sent to a lunatic asylum for treatment and later discharged.
So, like, are these actually like the?
This is like if you're in China and you go watch this on like a streaming service, this is the ending you'll get.
Right, but like is Brad Pitt and like Edward Norton in this?
I don't know. That's what
all
I'm
of a sudden it just cuts out and it's just two Asian men.
Yeah, like are they just like a guy? Yeah, like I mean, are they just
I am
like,
Brad Pitt.
Lookalikes that look like them is what I guess is what I'm asking.
I think it may have actually been like an alternate cut they just had.
The final action is instead replaced with an English language title card. Just explaining that the plot was foiled. So basically it doesn't lead up
okay.
to the... You get to the climax, like, actually, nothing happens here. The police rapidly figure out the whole plan, arrested all criminals. After the trial, Tyler was sent to the lunatic asylum, receiving psychological treatment. So they just say that, okay. So they didn't, like, reshoot it. They just put up the card. Man, imagine that buildup. You get to the climax and, like, boom!
Super excited, yeah.
Actually, nothing happens.
I want them to change more movies, and then
I'm actually into that. Yeah.
And then I want to watch them.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough.
The bad guys never win. Actually, the police caught them. They were arrested and had to pay back all the money they stole.
Yeah, changing up dials. What if you had to change the ending to a movie? Do you have one?
Change the ending to a movie.
Mm-hmm.
This feels like a longer conversation. Like 2 minutes. I'd like more time to think.
We could come back to it on another day. I don't have an answer off the top of my head either. I just didn't know if you were really mad at the ending to a movie and just like, oh, I've always hated this ending. Or
I did. I always go going back. I always feel very unsatisfied with what happens to the Joker in The Dark Knight. I will say that.
Okay. Yeah, just hanging from the building, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, which I guess they thought maybe they were leaving the door open for some sequels, and then, like, you know, he dies, and you couldn't really do nothing there. It just felt like not a very good payoff for that, or he just gets caught
by the
leg.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That always kind of jumps out to me. What other movies? It's a really good question, Cam.
We'll revisit it. We'll come back to
Shawshank
this one
Shawshank Redemption. I want him to get caught breaking out of jail and put back in solitary confinement. And
that's
probably how
That's what happens in China.
Sharknado?
I don't know.
I've never even watched any of the Sharknados. I just...
Zootopia?
Zootopia? What do you want?
Put them...
Such a heartwarming
put them all
movie.
Back in the zoo?
Just have the...
I've never seen that either.
You've never seen Zootopia? Oh, I guess that's not a weird thing to ask if you haven't seen that. But.
Yeah, I've never seen Zootopia either. I don't know what the hell it's about. Is it about animals escaping the zoo? Like I don't.
No, it's like the whole world's like an animal world, so every character's an animal. So,
I would really have liked for Forrest to tell Jenny to go to hell and like stay out of my
life.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
Just don't come back and try to marry me because you got HIV now.
With a DNA
you
test.
Got the AIDS now. Yeah, just like leave me alone. What's wrong with you?
Oh man, I'm trying to think.
Apparently, China has done this with a couple movies before.
Mm-hmm.
They eliminated 3 minutes of Bohemian Rhapsody about Queen. Eliminating.
what are they mad about in that
one? Well, they eliminated all gay references from
the picture. Okay, okay.
And
makes
in
sense.
Alien Covenant, they lost 6 minutes due to violence and a gay kiss between androids. So they've done a couple of things like this before.
They have very tough censorship rules.
What do we want to do today, leader, whoever you are? We want to try to solve these hunger problems?
No, we need
to edit out the gay robot kiss. Get rid of it.
Priorities, you know?
I got a baseball league trying a new overtime rule.
Okay. Now give it to
me. Well, this was basically put out after this, but they the Frontier League, which I guess is a minor league, is it?
Very experimental.
Independent ball, I don't know. So if the game makes it through 9 innings or 7 innings, if... you know, they're playing a doubleheader. They'll then give them one more inning to play, so either a 10th inning or an 8th inning. Then at that point, managers will meet with the umpire. The home manager gets to choose whether or not he wants to go on offense or defense. If he chooses offense, the team on offense will get to put the next person up to bat on first base. And then they play an inning. If the player scores, they win. If they don't score, the team on defense wins.
Okay. And so does the team that picks defense, do they get like an out automatically if they pick defense?
No.
Okay,
no.
So that's just only, okay.
I guess they have a pitcher they trust, and they think they can get three outs without allowing a score.
Okay.
So basically the inning, the game will all of a sudden end. Like it can't go any further than the next inning. So like
I like that.
I think I'd always pick defense.
You would think so. Although, I don't know. I don't know what the numbers say. Because like, if you have a leadoff runner on base, like, I don't know what the numbers
you
are.
You say first or second?
First.
First? Yeah, I'm taking defense.
I don't know.
I don't know about independent ball.
You have to get two hits or one extra base hit. Like,
just a button hit.
I think I'd just make every team play soft pitch, and team that hits the most home runs out of your starting nine, you win.
Get a bunt down and get a hit. That'll do it for us today. Hope you guys have a good rest of your Wednesday. The Drive is up next. Stay locked in on Fan Run Radio.